Good to see each and every one of you this morning. And my prayer is sincerely that you and I, each one of us, will, in a very unique, specific way, clearly hear from the Holy Spirit himself speaking to each one of us individually. Does that make sense? That's a mouthful. But that you will hear, and that we will recognize God, you know, working in our midst. And that's my prayer. So let's go to the Lord. Father, how I pray that you honor what I just shared. But I also pray, Father, please, that you will just carry me. And I ask, Father, that this message, Father, will be clear, and that this message will bring you honor and glory, that this message will encourage your children, that each of us, Father, as Christ followers, will be encouraged to embrace you more and more and more. Help us to walk away from your house today praising you even more. And may you be glorified. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You know, last week, the message was entitled, Choose, right? New life in Christ. And we talked about that a new life is something that is different than the life that we're living. It's why it's called new life. We're to live a different kind of life, a life that's different from that of the way of the world. But today I want us to go a step further, and that is to realize that living that new life in Christ is learning how to be strong in Christ. And to be strong in Christ requires faith. Without faith, we can't be strong in Christ. We can be given the strength to be strong. We have the power of God in us that lives in us. He's given us everything we need to be his children and to stand brightly for him. But we have to make the choice to stand strong in him and not ourselves. And so it's not about our relying on our own ability or strength or those type of things. It's about you and I relying on the power and ability of Christ who lives inside of each one of us, right? All right? And if we're going to be God's people, God's children, we have to choose to stand strong in him by his strength and might. We can't do it outside of him. Is that correct? Yeah, that's right. Okay. So the world today, you think about the world today as we see it, it's definitely not at peace. Actually, in reverse, you and I know that there's greater heights, widths, depths, whatever you want to, and however you want to term it, of levels of anxiety in people's lives. Anxiety, we have youth, even in middle school, that are anxious and worried about the future, what the world is going to have for them, and they're worrying about that. We have all different age groups that are full of anxiety and stress, and they take antidepressants to help calm them down. You see, this is a product of the world that we live in for people who have no hope. Unfortunately, many Christians live in that anxiety as well. And God never intends, nor does he desire, for you and I to live with anxious hearts about our lives, about the circumstances of the world, or politics, or whatever challenges or health issues we might have. God wants us to be at peace in our own heart and not have that sense of anxiety. For the world is, again, full of anxiety and fears and worries and stress. And there are how many people do you know that are taking antidepressants, you know, and just to calm them down so they can handle things? This is not the way God operates. God wants us. I'm not saying that it's wrong for you to be on an antidepressant. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying this, that God wants you and I to learn how to transfer the anxiety to him so we can be strong in him. Okay? And that's part of growing in Christ that much more. So choosing new life in Christ means that in these moments we need to stand on the unshakable rock. Is that Morro Bay?
Yes.
I think it is. Now, if you're going to stand on a rock, there's a rock to stand on. Stand on a rock, right? Yeah, well, that's what happened to it. But, you know, we were flying out of Atlanta, and as we're flying out of Atlanta a couple of weeks ago, I saw Stone Mountain just kind of standing there, you know. And I remember climbing Stone Mountain as a kid. And, of course, you see Yosemite, and you see Glacier Point. You see all these magnificent structures, but Christ is the strongest rock that we can stand on because none of them are immovable. Christ is immovable. And when we learn to rely on and stand on Christ, who is the immovable rock, then what transfers is a sense of security that overrides anxiousness. And so we need to understand that everybody goes through anxiousness. Anxiousness is part of life, but God wants us to deal with anxiousness His way, not our way. And so the psalmist David wrote in Psalm 61, 1 and 2, it says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Now, this is David. David was a king, of course, and he had great privileges, but he was a sinner, and he had his struggles and his strengths and his weaknesses, and he was counted to be a man of righteousness, even in lieu of the things that he did that were wrong. He was a man who was counted to be after God's own heart, which means to be so close to God that you can listen to his heartbeat. And as he's a man who's very close to God, in that understanding, here we have him dealing with anxious moments in his life. We're all going to have anxious moments, but how we deal with them as believers in Christ is essential for us to live a life in Christ in a manner that's strong, immovable, and that brings glory to God. And so he's crying out to God. He's full of anxiety. My heart is overwhelmed. There's the anxiety. He's looking all around. Whatever the circumstance is, it's not explained here, but whatever it is, it's overwhelming him. We all have had overwhelming circumstances that seem to swallow us up. But what was the transition here that David wrote in this hymn, in this verse? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to you, Jesus. Lead me to you, my Savior. You, my security. You, my strong tower. You, my strength. You, my comforter. You, the one that loves me and understands me and has only the best in store for me and desires only the best for me. And so that's what he did. He transitioned from anxiety to calling and crying out to God. See, now we got an example of him using what he ought to, or handling anxiety the way God wants him to. He took it to God. Now, we don't want to minimize that statement because we've heard it many times. Take it to God. But you know what? It's okay to take it to God, right? Because he's the solid rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Go to God. Go to Jesus. Start transferring your focus from the anxieties to the focus on Christ, so he can give us the understanding and perspective that we need to have to be able to deal with those things that overwhelm our lives. And we need to do that. We need to consider that because that's part of growing in Christ. In Psalm 18:2, it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." You see these identification marks in that verse? Rock, fortress, deliverer, strength, shield, horn of my salvation, stronghold. He's the one that we can rely on and depend on, but the question is, will we and do we? That's the question. We have to make the choice in order to live that new life and to be strong in Christ, to go to him, to listen to him, to respond in the way that is pleasing to him by applying what he tells us to do so that we can transfer from our anxiety to the security of Jesus, who is the rock, who is immovable. When we have that confidence that we're in a position where God's going to take care of it, God's in control, that the Holy Spirit has reassured us, we can have that sense of peace that totally takes away the anxiety. And because of that assurance from God, we can stand strong in him. In Psalm 40, verse 2, it says, "He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps." Years ago, Kathy was reading a book by a lady that I can't remember her name. Beth Moore. Okay, well, that's a good name to remember. Beth Moore. And what I mean by that is that the title of the book was "Get Climbing Out of the Pit," if I remember correctly. We can sometimes find ourselves in life feeling like we're in the pit, and the more we try to climb out of it, the more the dirt falls back on top of us. Been there, right? And so God says, look, that's that type of anxiety we can deal with in him as believers. And David wrote, he also brought me up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. When I see military, Joe could probably share stories and things he's learned in history and taught about the military. And you see these footages of military in World War II and other places, Nam, climbing through or walking through these swamps and miry, muddy places. And they're caked on with mud and they're just pushing through and pulling through, almost like a sponge or some sort of gooey gum or something on their feet, and they're working hard to pull themselves up out of the mire. That's the picture here, that we're finding ourselves sometimes in a pit that's caving in, and we're trying to do our best to get out of the pit, but it's like pulling our legs out of thick mud, and the suction is just keeps pulling our feet down. And he says, and he goes on, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. What happened there? The pit, the miry clay, was the anxiety. The transfer was that he looked to God. And as he looked to God, he got the answers from God, he relied on God, he believed God by faith, trusting in him, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit was always with David, never left him, unique in the Old Testament. And he called upon God, and God just set him on a rock that gave him security. Now, no matter what was going on around him, he was on this rock that God said, right here, you're safe, because I've told you so. I told you you're going to be okay. I told you I'm with you. I told you I will take care of it. I have a post-it next to my recliner on my little round table next to my chair. And as I was walking in the community and praying, sometimes I'm out there and watch out, I might be flaring my arms, flailing them. Talking, because I've got this stuff on my mind and I'm just talking. Most people think this guy's leaning, but you know, this is Kalinga, they hopefully know better. But God told me very plainly, he said, and it was almost audible. And a lot of people say, be careful what you say when you say God said something, but he did. He said, relax, Terry, I'll take care of it. I said, what? Relax, Terry, I'll take care of it. Wrote it down. To God, you told me to relax and that you'll take care of it. Now, what did I have to do with that? You see, in transferring the anxiety to God, I'm praying. That was my first step, to call on God, to cry out to God and let it all out. Just lay it down before him. As I'm doing that, God, just in the middle of the conversation, says, relax, Terry, I'll take care of it. What do I do with that? Do I believe that by faith? If I want peace, yeah. Do I hold on to that? Is the Holy Spirit revealing to me what I needed to know at that moment? If I want peace, yeah. And as you take that step of faith to believe in the counsel of the Holy Spirit, remember, the Holy Spirit was sent to give us counsel and power and strength. So as we rely on the counsel of the Holy Spirit, we rely on him through faith, then what settles in is that transfer from anxiety to peace. I know that you said you're going to take care of this. And I'm going to be as brave as to say this to you, Father. You told me you would. I'm expecting you to do it. In all due respect, sir. Because you said it. You said it to me to reassure me. Guess what? He did. And he does. Time and time and time again. And so as believers in Christ, we're going to have those feelings of being overwhelmed. We're going to have circumstances that no matter how much we try to climb our way out of the pit, that the dirt keeps seeming to fall back in and we lose hope. Instead of trying to pull ourselves out of the pit ourselves, we're to call out to God from the pit and say, God, I'm down here. I've tried. I can't get out. I give up. Get me out of here, please. And we listen. And then he might tell us something. Hey, look, I'm going to drop a rope in. You watch for it. Something. He can pull us up and out. And he will set us on the solid rock himself. But we have to be willing and desiring to be placed on that rock. He will not put us on that rock against our will. Being on the rock comes by surrender to and faith in our Savior, Jesus. I heard a preacher a couple weeks ago talk about unshakable rock. To be unshakable, he didn't say rock, he said just to be unshakable. Your mind goes to the book of Revelation where men's hearts fail because of fear. But people fail and they're devastated because of fear. And so God doesn't want us to be that way. God wants us to be unshakable. Because as we have that unshakable stand in Christ, we become a witness to the world who's in chaos. Is that the world in chaos? And if we're standing secure and at peace, and we're plowing through with a confidence and not full of anxiety, there is a witness to be seen. New life can lead us to an unshakable security in Christ. Live in faith, not in fear. In Psalm 16:1, it says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust." He's saying, look, you know, I've got problems here. I need you to preserve me. Preserve me. Protect me. Preserve me. Protect me. In you I put my trust. There's the transition. There's the step of faith. There's the confidence being displayed to your Father that God can take care of it. And he will take care of it his way, and we have to trust him in that. So when you have fear, here's a bold statement. When you have fear, you have no faith. Wow. When you have fear, you have no faith. I had to think about that a little bit. Because God will call us to serve him, to live for him, in ways that require us to step up that is frightening. When the Israelites were carrying the Ark of the Covenant and they were coming off the mountain, they were called across the Jordan River, they were instructed to put their foot into the river, even though the river was at such velocity that it could destroy them and kill them and wipe them out, that they were to put their foot into the river and to take that step of faith. Were they afraid? Yeah. So what did they do with the fear? They would not have stepped in the water if they did not choose to take faith. We have to choose to take faith to overcome fear. That's essential for us to grow in Christ. Instead of fearing, pray so that God will fill us or you with hope, joy, and peace. I can put my glasses on here for read a little note I wrote down here. Doing God's will in our lives can be scary. Again, overcome fear by faith. That's essential. That's essential. In Romans 15:13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Romans 15, Apostle Paul wrote that to the church in general in Rome. He says, look, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing. Evidence of faith is believing. You got to have faith to believe God. Evidence of faith is believing in him. When we believe in him, then we have the hope. When we have the hope, then we realize the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, securing us on that rock. So we have to do the process. We have to be believers in Christ, followers of Christ that accept the process. I've got this anxiety. I've got this overwhelming situation. Fill in the blank wherever you are, wherever you've been, wherever you might be in the future, whatever the case. When these things come against us, we have to choose to say, I'm going to step out of myself and step into the strength of God by calling on Him, listening to Him, and by faith, doing what He's told us to do. And then to trust Him. Abounding in hope is the opposite of fear and can be provided by the Holy Spirit if we ask. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, it says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me.'" Now, before we go any further, that is a contradictory statement to the human nature. Because in this particular instance, the Apostle Paul is communicating a testimony of his own life that is available for you and I as well. He says that God says, His grace, my grace is sufficient for you. There's nothing in front of us that is too big for God to give us the grace to handle. Nothing. No matter how overwhelming it might be. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect or complete, or He accomplishes His work of perfection in our lives when we rely on Him when we're weak. There's a picture here that says, look, instead of looking at our weakness and our anxiety and our problems as defeating, look at our weakness and our anxieties and our problems as opportunity to bring glory to God. And he explains this. "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Whenever we are weak, whenever we're overwhelmed, whenever we see that no matter what we do is not working, if we choose to transfer our focus on ourselves to Christ, choose to walk away from anxiety by calling out on our God who loves us beyond comprehension and rely on Him, then what happens is that we begin to see the power of Christ. Here's the evidence. If we're standing on the rock that God put us on because we took a step of faith to call out to Him, not relying on ourselves, listen to Him, apply what He says, trust in what He says, then in doing so, He's put us on this solid rock, which glorifies God. God showing His power. I have put you in a secure place. You know it, I know it, and you don't have to worry about it, no matter what's going on around. You see a large rock in a river, and you see the water hitting it and flowing around it, and it's strong. And you know if you've been crossing a riverbed and the water's really going, you got to watch your step. It'll wipe you out. In verse 10, it says, "Therefore, take pleasure in infirmities." Isn't that weird? Take pleasure in your weakness. It doesn't say take pleasure in your sin, but take pleasure in your weakness. So if I'm tempted or you're tempted to sin, the pleasure part is not the sin, but the opportunity for God to show His strength to give us victory. When we have problems in our life, the opportunity, when we see that we can't adequately, sufficiently deal with those things that come and confront us, the opportunity is to rely on God. And therefore, I take pleasure, Paul says, in infirmities. Get this, in reproaches. You know reproach? Someone is reproaching you. They're putting you down. They're attacking you, whatever. Okay? So, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. For what reason? For Christ's sake. He's saying, these infirmities or weaknesses I have, these reproaches that I have thrown my way, these needs that I have in life, these persecutions that I face because of Christ in my life, this distress that I have, I take pleasure in those things for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. Opportunity. It's opportunity for all of us to say, hey, no matter how bad it is, you're right there. And all I have to do is step out of myself, call on you. You place me on the rock, and I have that security, and God is glorified. God is glorified. So he takes pleasure in that. Faith transfers our weakness into strength in Christ. Faith transfers our weakness to strength in Christ. Follow that? And so as we rely on that principle, we learn to live a life, a new life in Christ that is strong. Why? Because we've taken the opportunity to grow by relying on him. When do we need God's strength or power the most? When we're strong and confident in ourselves, or when we're weak or in need, right? Go beyond our thoughts and emotions and circumstances. Go beyond yourself. Get outside of ourselves, yourself, myself. Get outside of ourselves and all of our dependency upon ourselves, and learn to depend upon God as an opportunity to bring him glory and an opportunity for us to grow in him, in confidence and boldness and strength, all these things. We rely on the power of God. So many times we focus on our emotions and problems and people, things that confront us. And again, we need to keep our eyes on the unshakable rock of Christ. It's not just a pretty Christian saying. It's a practical reality of the Christian life. It's a practical reality to focus our eyes on the unshakable rock of Jesus. If the cross, I always keep thinking about the cross, the vertical line, there's so many different parallels to the illustration of the cross. The vertical line is to keep our eyes on God. Call out to him, talk to him, lay out your concerns, listen to him, get the counsel, all these things we've already discussed. But if we take our eyes off of God and we look horizontally at the circumstances around us, it drags us down. Walk with your eyes looking up to heaven, relying on Christ, holding on to him. Don't look at the circumstances that are erratic and overwhelming and destructive, possibly, in our lives. We need to depend more on the Holy Spirit, his wisdom and resources, and less on our ability to fix things by our own wisdom and resources. That's hard. Because what that's saying is that we have to be humble enough before God to take our pride off of ourselves, of saying, I can take care of it, and say, God, I can't take care of this. But I'm looking to you to take care of it. Because you love me and you want me to rely on you. Jesus said what? He said, cast your cares upon me for what? I care for you. He's imploring us. He's compelling us. I want you to shift your problems to me. I want to carry your burden for you. The question is, are we willing to give our burdens to him so we can stand on the rock? That's what God wants. That's what God wants. This is where we choose to grow up in our Christian faith and live the new life that we have chosen to live in Christ. If we never choose to stand on him or seek his counsel, if we never choose to set our pride aside and be humble before God and say, God, I need your help, like David wrote in the Psalms there, then we're never going to grow. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be taken out, but we're not experiencing growth because we don't realize the power of God in our life. And we don't realize his love for us in the depth that he would like us to. So stand on the unshakable rock by learning about him, by studying his word, by growing in your faith. standard stuff, right? But it is important. It's part of the Christian life. If we really want to grow in our relationship with Christ, then we need to learn about him. We need to read his word. We need to grow in our faith by depending upon him. We need to go to God in prayer about everything. We need to seek his wisdom and knowledge and not our own. We need to wait for his response before we act. Solid rock. The strong Christian faith. Choose the new life, the strength that we find. The unshakable rock in Christ. Choose that. And life will go, tell me, do you think life for us as followers of Christ will go easier when we stand on him than when we choose not to? Or do we think that it'll go easier by doing it our way without crying out to him or standing in him? And that's the choice. And if we're going to grow and know him and what he has for us in our own personal lives and the journey and the path he has for us, we have to step outside of ourselves and stand on the unshakable rock of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I ask, Father, that you will carry this message to each heart. I ask that you will speak to each heart in ways that are revealing or unveiling to us. I ask that if any of us have spiritual scales on our eyes like the Apostle Paul did or Saul, then I ask that you remove the spiritual scales by us hearing you talk to us. Us acknowledging that we've heard you speak to us. Us saying, Lord, thank you for talking to me and loving me. And us surrendering to whatever it is that he talks to us about. Whatever's required. Whatever counsel he's given to trust in. Help us to be that type of people. Your people. Children of light. Christ followers, strong in faith, not overwhelmed by fear. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.